Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this 18th day of September 2024. And it's Pledge Week, Pledge Week, Pledge Week, folks. And so get ready to pledge. Right back there in the phone booth, we have the boys, Pastor's Mighty Men. Pastor Richard Lewis is back there with Deacon. And what is that deacon's name? Oh, yes.
Eric.
I know it. See, I got her. There's the cackle. Okay, you got the cackle in. That's Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
All righty, we got her. Now, he's back, folks. The mighty Andrew couldn't stay away. He missed me. I'm telling you.
It's only been about a year and a half.
Yeah, a year and a half. And he left his lunch here and he came back for it. But
it was a little moldy, but powered through it.
Yeah, he's back and he's got his lovely fiancée with him.
And
so,
I do.
There you go. Tonight. And so, like right here, live in the studio from the Dove and Sword Ministries, none other than Pastor Mike Fodor.
Greetings, folks. I'm glad to be back with you. Pastor Ernie was on my show an hour ago. We had a great show, understanding the time. So, ready to roll.
And we got more to come yet because she's pert and she's pretty. She's smart and she's witty. Miss USA Herbal, Miss Wendy Wilson.
Well, good evening, pastors. How are you?
We're doing all right, Wendy. And we got one more to go to tonight. He's out there yonder. He's the legendary Missouri preacher and the parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
Infamous, maybe. Glad to be here. Sounds like we got quite a crew tonight. So let's get at it.
We are going to get at it. We're going to get at it. And so, we got to tell the folks again, this is Pledge Week, 888-281-1110. We have a lot to cover tonight. And to 888-677-9673, give us a call. We need to hear from you. We did good, really good on Monday. Last night wasn't so good, but Monday was very, very good. But last night we did have people from Dallas, which... Dallas and Chicago, we really needed to hear, but more than even those two, San Diego, and we did hear from all three last night, but we need to hear more, a lot more from San Diego, ASP, folks, and again, continue, especially from Dallas, especially from Chicago and from all over. So again, the number is 888-281-1110. That's the credit card line. Also, 888-677-9673. And we're going to be talking about tonight, the Bible study is about, well, the title of it was Judgment Train to Hell, Bordering Now. Right. And we got that off. There used to be a movie on some years ago called Purgatory. I don't know if you ever saw that movie, Purgatory. Wendy, you've seen a lot of movies. Did you ever see that movie, Purgatory?
I don't believe I have.
Okay, well, what it was about was Purgatory doesn't exist, but the belief in purgatory was that this town called Purgatory, and people would arrive there on this train, and they would have so much time in this purgatory to live a righteous life. They were on probation, and so they could live there. But if they messed up, then right outside at the cemetery was the lake of fire, was the access to the burning lake of fire, and they would be taken and thrown in that lake of fire. And now you had some villains. Some of these guys at Purgatory were like Jesse James and Billy the Kid and that. They were the good guys here. And then some bad guys came in there to Purgatory. Some mean down. I mean, these guys were worse than Democrats. Well, wow. Maybe not worse than Democrats. But anyhow, what happened was the good guys did what they had to do. They risked going to the Lake of Fire to save some innocent people. And what happened was God took that into consideration, and at the end of the movie, they got on their train and they left Purgatory and went to heaven. And I don't really think you can do that, but anyhow, that's where, and what the emphasis was, the old heresy is back in full swing about salvation for everyone. Everyone gets saved. And folks, that's again, it's a growing heresy that people are teaching. The Pope had an influence on it. If you remember a couple of years back when the Pope says he didn't believe there was a hell, that anybody would go there. And people only believe that hell was only for Satan and his fallen angels. Well, we're going to pick it up. We've been showing you one after one passages of Scripture. In fact, in the Bible, hell is mentioned 54 times. That's 31 times in the Old Testament and 23 times in the New Testament. And we've been showing you what God's Word, the Bible, says about a hell. Hell's real. And Joe, why don't you read verses Matthew 13, verses 38 through 43.
The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
All right, so now let me ask you, when just reading this passage, you get a picture of these tares. These tares are wicked people. These tares are people like the Democrats out there today that are pro-abortion, trying to push pedophilia, all of the wicked, evil things that they're doing today. And so that's the picture we get. But what about people that seem to be living a good, righteous life, people that seem to be, godly people? We'll tell you that, I live a pretty good life. I'm good to the neighbors. I believe my good works outweigh my bad works, okay?
I'm good to my mother.
Yeah, and so...
Well, there's a problem there, because Jesus preached more on the sins of omission than he did the sins of commission. It's not always just what sins you have committed. We sin more by not doing what God has told us to do. He has... You look at all his words, run to the battle, fight the fight, witness, reprove, rebuke, go on, all these different words are action verbs, and yet people don't seem to get the message and don't do what God has called upon them to do.
Well, yeah, and I think tares are often confused with wheat. From a distance, they look the same. It's hard to separate. But it comes down to your belief in Jesus Christ as Savior of the world, you know. So people do good works for various reasons and motives. Oftentimes, you know, I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back. I'll watch your yard, you watch my yard. So it's a trade-off. Just like Jesus said, a lot of people love their mother and father, their families, but are they going to love me more? And so it really right. comes down to that.
So all of what you guys said are absolutely true, but Wendy, we know that there's something one must do. Now, the Word of Faith movement says repentance is not necessary for salvation, okay?
Mm.
But that's not quite what the Word of God says, right? So the Word of God says, yes, that you must repent. The very first thing that Jesus said when he preached was repentance, okay? John the Baptist, the very first time he preached, repentance. In fact, that fellow called Noah preached 128 years, and or 120 years, rather.
120, yeah.
Yeah, repentance, right? And so those that fail, I mean, you could be the nicest person in the world, and, I mean, love your neighbor and everything, but if you fail to realize that you're a sinner, and a sinner needs a Savior, and call upon the name of the Lord, and you know, repent, then there's no salvation.
So well, Jesus made it clear, ye must be born again of the Spirit.
He said, repent or perish.
Right.
And so that didn't stutter. There wasn't any stuttering, right? I mean, this is pretty clear. To me, it's pretty clear. Let's go to Matthew 23.
All right.
Wendy, if you have a question or a comment, just jump in there.
I will.
And in Matthew 23, Joe, just read verses 33 through 46, or 36, rather.
36. I was just going to say it's going to be hard to do 46. Wherefore, behold, I send you unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation.
All right, so in verse 33 he says, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Now, he uses the term damnation, and not condemnation, but damnation. Why do you think he used that? Because he's speaking here now to the religious leaders, right? And he's using a term.
Isn't it a more severe punishment?
Well, condemnation means you've been condemned, okay? Damnation means sentence carried out. And so,
okay.
And so here, he's talking to the religious leaders, and he's saying their damnation is the greater, because they purposely led people.
They led others astray.
Right. They kept those from going into heaven and led others away.
Yeah, it's one thing to be a sinner and to, be Antichrist even, but when you lead the people, the believers that are supposed to listen to you, it's like as pastors, if we preach anything but the gospel that once delivered to the saints, we could be leading people astray, and our condemnation and damnation will be greater.
Right.
And there's a lot of prosperity preachers and others out there who fall into this category today, don't they?
Absolutely. Now, Zacharias, the son of Barachias, he was the one, I believe, that was stoned in the temple court by order of King Joash. And so he was stoned to death. He was a martyr. And so let's go over now to Matthew chapter 10.
All right. We're there. Verses 28 through, 42?
Yeah.
And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall into the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows.
And so here now, when he says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. So what is it that we are to fear? Because there's 366 times in the Bible it says, fear not or be not afraid.
Right.
So there's one thing the Bible tells us.
Losing our soul for eternity.
There's one thing the Bible tells us we are to fear. Absolutely. And that is the beginning of wisdom. What is that?
Paul said, we fear the Lord. That's why we persuade men.
Right.
Because of the fear of the Lord.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of... Now, he's talking about here a reverence fear, okay? And so... But here now, as we go through this, when he says this, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. Now, on your program, we discussed this. It was something that it was a mystery, and because you referred to George W. Bush, and we heard him make a profession of faith. We heard him say that Jesus Christ was his Lord and Savior, and yet we're a little stunned by the fact that he was a part of. What was he?
The global elite, the New World Order.
Skull and crossbones?
Yes, all that.
And so, but we heard him see that.
He's anti-Trump now.
Yeah. Now, what about Barack Obama? I heard Barack Obama say that Jesus Christ was his Lord and Savior, but he's only one of many saviors.
That's kind of talking out of both sides of the mouth, right? So
it's kind of called blasphemy. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Jesus was just another guru, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Here, it's kind of a heartbreaking thing to know that most people in this world today, Jesus said the vast majority, when we start out on this, we read from Matthew 7, that the vast majority of people today on this planet are going to go to hell. That's what God said. And yet you've got these people out there preaching that nobody goes to hell. Now, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if everyone would get saved if there was no sin?
But couldn't the Pope just decree it and it'd be so that everybody gets to go to heaven and we have that safety net?
Yeah, I think that one's bigger than the Pope, huh? Yeah. So, anyhow, it would be wonderful, wonderful if that would be the case. But here, now when we accept Christ as our Savior, when he says you must put him first, Wendy, what does that mean to you?
Well, in all things, put him first. So, in the beginning of your day, seek him early. Pray, you know.
When he says we have to put him before our father, before our mother,
yeah.
Those of us that refuse, you know.
Right, and, you know, even your day before you get busy, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. The first thing in the morning and the last thing at night.
Right.
You call upon the name of the Lord, huh?
Yeah.
And
makes you sleep better.
Yeah.
Well,
absolutely.
You know, if God's called you to go on a mission trip, for example, overseas, you can't let your family talk you out of that. I mean, they will try, even though they may be Christians and have good intentions, but underlying that is often fear for your safety.
Well, okay, so how is it? How do you know that it's the Lord that's telling you to go on a mission trip and not something that you want to do?
I think it can be both. Delight yourself first in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And so if that is a desire, but there could be a calling. God can give you. I remember one time I was biking in the park, And I was praying about my next mission trip. I had been on several, and I didn't know when and where to go, but I felt like I was supposed to go somewhere and take a team, train them. I was biking in the Metro Parks, and I was praying about it. 5 minutes later, I got a call, and it was from Kenya. Hadn't heard from them for years. And they said, Mike, when are you coming to Kenya? We've got things ready for you and your team. That was an answer.
All right.
I'm going to Kenya. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, so now, so if Mike was praying, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me, send me wherever you want me, except for Washington, D.C., Lord. Do not send me to Washington, D.C., anywhere else.
South side of Chicago.
Why would Mike do that? Why would he pray that prayer? Would that possibly be because the Lord, that's where the Lord wants you to go? And you kind of know that, right? And
he's put it on my heart.
Yeah.
It's a calling, you might say.
All right, very good. Let's go to Revelation 19.
Oh, you didn't want to finish Matthew 10?
Okay, I thought we did.
Oh, I thought we were going to go through verse 42.
Okay, I thought we did. Maybe, well, you know, maybe I'm getting...
32. We stopped at 32, and I thought we talked we were going to go all the way to 42. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, but you know, But go ahead, Joe. Go ahead. Go for it.
We all have senior moments.
Yep.
Yeah. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. And I wanted to read those especially because they pertain to those of you at Pledge Week supporting the ministry. If you're out there doing the Lord's work and you support us, God's basically saying you will receive the same blessing that those of us that are doing the work. If you enable us to be there on the radio, preaching, teaching, whatever we do in the name of God that glorifies him, praises him, you, if you support the ministry, share in the rewards, right?
Amen. Very good. Bob and Marie, they pledge in Michigan, pledge 100. And Rose from New York pledges 100. All right, the number is 888-281-1110, folks. That's the credit card line. We need to hear from you. We really need to hear from you out there. Again, it's, and we need especially tonight, to hear from San Diego, from Dallas, and from Chicago. All righty.
Pastor?
Yes, ma'am.
I recently, last day or so, sent you $350, so maybe somebody can match that.
All right, put Wendy down for a pledge of $350. And we're looking for a match. Someone can match Wendy's $350. Last time you did that, you had about four or five people. They must like you, Wendy. They matched your $350.
It's just the Lord.
Let's hopefully we can do the same thing tonight. All right, we're up against the break, folks. During the break, call in 888-281-1110. Be right back.
Once a man's home was his castle, only his foes would violate. And the border of his property was the moat round his estate. All these kingly rights of sovereignty, once bestowed on us by God, have been lost somewhere in history, in the fine print and the fraud. Once a man and his religion was protected by the law. In America, the Constitution formed a verbal wall. Now the law that used to separate is a law that's daily breached. Now the worried watchman on the wall is crying, heaven's under siege. Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government, but heaven's under siege. Heard the watchman sound a warning call back in 1992. When they murdered Vicky Weaver, just like they'll murder me or you. When they stormed a church in Waco, women and children burned alive. And now the ones who rot in prisons are the ones they let survive. Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government, when heaven's under siege. Now a voice cries in the wilderness as the Lord prepares his church. Will his called and chosen servants be found faithful on this earth? Will we pass the test of heaven's quest, never counting earthly loss? Will we fight like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross? Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government, when heaven's under siege. I said corruption reigns in government, when heaven's under siege. Under siege.
Boy, you know heaven must really be under siege. And folks, listen, we got to get those phones to ring, because right now it's a pitiful scene. There's two old men sitting here in this studio looking through the windows into the other studio, and two old men in another studio sitting there just waiting for the phone to ring.
Speak for yourself.
And it's not a pretty sight, folks. So call. We need to hear from you. We have to, if you're going to continue to hear from us. But I'll tell you who we'll hear from. Miss Wendy Wilson. She's always got something very important to tell us. What do you have tonight for us, Wendy? Are you there, Wendy? Where'd Wendy go?
I'm here.
Alrighty.
I pushed my button by mistake. I thought we'd talk about land scurvy. You've heard about scurvy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I've never heard of land scurvy.
a lot of people, you know, remember their school history class, you know, hearing about seafaring sailors of long ago contracting a condition called scurvy on long voyages. Usually if they were on long voyages of 3 months or longer with little or no access to fresh fruits and vegetables, they would get scurvy. So scurvy is the result if there's a lack of vitamin C and some other nutrition. So the human body has to have these micronutrients from healthy foods to stay well. There are reports of U.S. Political interest in developing a Department of Groceries in an attempt to...
Oh, yeah, Kamala. Yeah,
they want to they want to curtail rising food costs, but the free market can't support heavy government regulations on that or a takeover of the food chain. So therefore, we need to think ahead how we can supply the human body with nutrition it's going to need in face of food shortages, high food costs, or even famine. So this is an ancient disease, but it's also a modern problem. So some may feel there's really plenty of supplements of vitamin C to provide protection from scurvy, which is considered rare. But the majority, 94% and or more of the ascorbic acid that you get on in the market now, the vitamin C supplements, for instance, are supplied from China. So if there are significant shortages on ascorbic acid and even natural vitamin C foods, then we could see scurvy cases, and we're not even on a ship. The Lancet Global Health Journal wrote this of August 2024. They said, more than half of the world's population is severely lacking in micronutrients like vitamins and minerals. They added approximately 99.3% of the global population is lacking at least one vital nutrient the body requires to be well. Additionally, they say in 185 countries, 15 micronutrients were reviewed, and they reported that seven common micronutrients that people are most deficient in were calcium, iodine, vitamin E, iron, riboflavin, which is your vitamin B2, and also vitamin C and folate. So in the U.S., vitamin E, iodine, and vitamin C were among the most common micronutrient deficiencies. They also reported the findings are kind of alarming, and they say these major gaps in micronutritional levels are compromising public health and limiting human potential on a global scale.
Well, let me ask you this. What foods do you eat to get iodine? I understood that that was found in, say, black walnuts, but I really...
Yes. Yeah, you get natural iodine in ocean salt if it's sun-dried and not processed. If they process it, it strips it of the iodine, and then they have to add it back in. But they usually add a synthetic version of iodine when they do that.
Would you believe iodine that Mike and Joe didn't even know that?
Yeah, they you'll see that in the store. It says iodized salt. That's what that means.
Right.
Seaweed has iodine. Black walnut has the highest concentration of iodine. So, you'll find iodine in a lot of, herbs. You'll find it in herbs and your ocean salt.
I know that we have that. That black walnut tincture for people that are exposed to radiation, to heavy doses of radiation.
Natural iodine, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's an option for you. It really is in case, you can't find your tablets or you can't get any.
All right, Carmen from Connecticut pledges 125. Thank you, Carmen.
Man, yay.
So, Wendy, I've got three or four walnut trees, so we just after the outside falls off, we collect the nuts, let them dry, and we just eat them that way. So we're getting all the iodine we need from the walnuts, right?
Got to be black walnuts.
Black walnuts, yeah.
Okay, so if you have a black walnut tree, they're kind of common all over the United States. During, the growing season, those walnuts will look like small golf balls, and they're green, and they have a very hard outer shell.
Right.
And then, like you mentioned, in the fall, right about now, they start to turn brown, and they'll eventually fall to the ground and turn black. So the iodine isn't in the nut or the pit. It's in the substance between the nut and the outer hull. Now, if your season has been very wet, that substance will be kind of gooey like molasses. It'll look like molasses. If your season's been dry, it'll look more powdery. So that's what you want to collect, dry, store, make into a tincture, something of that nature.
Mm. So just eating the nuts themselves doesn't do it?
No. You want that stuff in between.
Mm-hmm.
So you went and got yourself fat by eating all those nuts just thinking.
A lot of people say when you say black walnut, they think the nuts. And, you can find them on the baking aisle at the grocery store, but it's not what we're talking about.
Well, I didn't know that. I learned something new. Every time you're on this program, I learn something new.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear it. Well, let's talk about identifying scurvy, because the condition of scurvy can be easier than most conditions to spot. Here are some symptoms. weakness, fatigue, sore arms and legs, degrading of the red blood cells, gum disease, loose teeth, bad breath, hair becomes brittle, blood coming through your skin, body aches, swelling, bruising, and internal bleeding. So scurvy can be fatal, so you don't want to let it go. And according to the National Health Institute, they say our body's vitamin C stores can become depleted in 1 to 3 months. So women require 75 milligrams and men 90 milligrams per day, and the elderly are at high risk of scurvy from inadequate diets. So recovering fully from scurvy can take 2 weeks after vitamin C is reintroduced, but most people start to feel better within 48 hours. So let's look at some natural vitamin C sources, because your, you know, ascorbic acid from China, that's a chemical copycat of the original nutritional element. So if you want some real vitamin C, berries, broccoli, oranges, and other citrus fruits, carrots, spinach, squash, Brussels sprouts, sweet potatoes, and pumpkin seeds, all going to give you some natural vitamin C. And then some people say, well, can I just eat a whole orange, or can I have orange juice? Well, eating a whole orange with 20% vitamin C will assist the immune system, makes your skin look smoother and younger, lowers your risk of rheumatoid arthritis, lowers risk of lung, mouth, esophageal, and stomach cancer, reduces the risk of spinal bifida. So oranges contain vitamin B, and it protects amino acids in the blood, lowering risk of cardiovascular disease and strokes, lowers also the risk of anemia, and helps your blood hold on to iron better. So if your blood's holding on to iron, Pastor, it holds on to, well, it has iron, adequate iron, it holds on to oxygen to feed your cells. So oxygen and iron are necessary. Now, some herbs that will have some nice vitamin C profiles are horsetail herb, rose hips, one of my favorites, aloe, sienna leaf, yellow dock root, raspberry, red raspberry leaf, barley grass, red clover tops, lobelia, hops flower, and pine needles if you're foraging, okay? Now, it's also important to keep in mind what you may be taking as medications, because some medications can strip vitamin C out of the system. Diabetics, for example, often have low vitamin C levels, and this is because vitamin C enters their cells through the same protein carrier as the glucose. So glucose gets absorbed, but the vitamin C gets blocked and then flushed out of the body.
Got to jump in here and say that Marilyn from California pledges 100. Boy, we needed that. Keep coming from California. Listen, folks, we really need to hear from you. Really need to hear from you. We don't want to have to go off the air out in California. We have so many very good people out there. So 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We got to hear from you. California, Dallas, Chicago. Listen, this is very, very important. It's very vital that we really hear from you the rest of this week. We only have a couple more days left in Pledge Week. And let me tell you, we're fighting with everything we have to stay on your stations. It's very tough, so pray for us, too. Keep us in prayer. And there, again, the numbers are 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Go ahead, Wendy.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about some of the common medications that can lower your vitamin C. Aspirin and non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs will interfere with the absorption of vitamin C. Tetracycline antibiotics will break down vitamin C. Oral contraceptives increase excretion of vitamin C through your urine. Acetaminophen, your Tylenol, will increase excretion of vitamin C as well. Aluminum antacids will block absorption of vitamin C. Barbiturates will decrease the effectiveness of any vitamin C. Chemotherapy meds disrupt vitamin C levels. Nitrate heart medications, or a combo of nitroglycerin and your vitamin C drug, reduces the body's ability to build a vitamin C store. Also, protease inhibitors, usually for HIV and AIDS patients, will lower levels of the vitamin C and your Werfen, Coumadin blood thinners. Vitamin C interferes with these drugs, and it's ineffective in also thinning the blood. So those two things don't go together at all. And then if you're worried about upset, digestive upset, taking the vitamin C supplements, if you decide to use a supplement of vitamin C, there's a way you can take maybe large, more aggressive doses, but reduce your headache, nausea, and diarrhea. You can start with a lower dose, maybe 100 milligrams or less, or maybe just less than 1 gram. And if you need to take more up and to up the dose to, let's say, 100 milligrams, you do it slowly over the week. So this is a gradual way to help the body adjust without any of the negative response. Now, Dr. Art Euling, he said large doses of vitamin C do not usually cause any kidney stones unless you have a history of kidney stones. High amounts of your vitamin C can also alter urine and fecal matter tests, such as your screening tests for diabetes and colon cancer. So keep that in mind if you're going for those tests.
I've heard that if you take too much vitamin C, it'll turn your skin yellow. Is that true?
No. Mm-mm.
Joe, why didn't you tell me that, Joe?
Wendy?
Yes.
A lot of the medications that the pharmaceuticals put out, they tell you you have to take gradually taper off to be safe, things like this. Now, when you're taking natural supplements, is it a good thing to gradually build up to a level and then gradually decrease, or is that not necessary with the God's medications?
You can always be conservative and do gradual if you want, but there's a big difference between your whole food vitamin C supplement, like rose hips, for instance, and your isolated chemical copycat ascorbic acid, okay, from China.
Okay.
So your body has to have buffer alkaloids and uptake, elements. So your body has that with the whole food version, but it may have to take from nutritional stores to uptake and absorb the vitamin C from the synthetic version, the chemical one. So it's hard. It's really hard to overdose on natural as opposed to the isolated chemical versions. So that's why I gravitate to the natural sources. But you can get rebound scurvy, and that occurs when people who were taking large doses of vitamin C supplements and then suddenly stop taking them, the body will break down or use the stored vitamin C and clear out what's left because the body is expecting you to replace the vitamin C and replenish it. So when it is not replenished, well, this can produce a mild form of scurvy, and this can be avoided by slowly decreasing the intake of your vitamin C supplement over the course of a few weeks. So very good question, by the way, Pastor Joe.
All right, very, very good.
It wasn't Doctor.
Jane from
Dr.
Georgia
Joe.
Pledges $50. Thank you, Jane from Georgia. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673, folks. We really need to hear from you now. Go ahead, Wendy.
Well, I think people, people have been prepping and stuff, but I think now more people are kind of, maybe we should store some things just on the safe side, because it's better to have it and not need it, right, Pastor, than to not have it and really need it.
Well, you're right about that, and I tell you what, I've listened to you, and I've got a real good supply of all natural medicines.
Yes.
To give yourself a plug.
You're being proactive. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So if you're using capsules and tablets, typically their shelf life will be 2 to 3 years. Usually when you have capsules, especially, or tablets, it has fillers in it to keep it together so it doesn't crumble and fall apart. Those elements will start to degrade when the product expires, and they become more toxic than prior to the expiration date, so keep that in mind. If you're looking for liquids, let's say you had a rose hip tincture, or, they call them extracts too, those will have a 10-year shelf life because the catalyst, which is your alcohol, is the perfect preservative. So look for things that will have a long shelf life so they'll be there when you need them. And that would be my plan if I was stocking up on stuff.
Is it always, can you get most of the things in the liquid form?
Nowadays you can. I mean, you got a lot of products in, you know, natural health stores, Whole Foods, supermarkets and things. You can even find them on the internet. So you could just kind of do a search, you know, natural vitamin C liquid, for instance, and see what comes up.
All right. Now, just think about this. Okay, where did we get, who gave us the natural herb medicine? Where did that come from?
Well, that came from God, see.
That's right. Now, who gives us all of these drugs in the drugstore? Big Pharma, right? What does pharmakia mean?
Well, it means witchcraft.
It means witchcraft. So,
right.
To me, it's a no-brainer. I'm going to go with what God gave us. I think he knew what he was doing, right?
Well, if you read your scripture, which I know you do, from Genesis to Revelation, we're encouraged to use herbs. So you've got it in the very first chapter, Genesis 29 and 30. You have it in Psalms 104, 14, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7, and Revelation 22, 2. So throughout the Bible, God's telling us herbs are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations, and God can't lie.
All right, very good. Listen, William from Texas pledges $300. Thank you, William.
Yay.
Yep.
Yeah,
and
thank you. Wendy, I've got one.
And wait a minute. Now, Tom and Esther from Illinois pledges $200. Thank you. Now, listen, so far we've gotten them from California, two from California, and we've gotten, I think, two each from Illinois and Texas. Keep it up, folks. Listen, help us. We're going to do, we promise you, we will, you know us, we're going to fight like everything to stay on those stations. But boy, we can't do it without you. You got to help us. So 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Go ahead, Wendy.
Well, I'm pretty much finished with the, you know, land scurvy segment, but we are having a sale at Apothecary Herbs, so you can pick up your sinus formulas, your pandemic kits, your cold and flu stuff, your pneumonia kits, and all kinds of things. And we're having a fall stock-up sale. It's 25% off. Details are on the homepage, where they can call us at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, and the web address is thepowerherbs.com.
Yeah, well, it's very important that you do have that phone number, because there's a lot of people out there that are not on the internet.
Right, and, you know, I have a customer base like that, too, so they like our, you know, hard copy catalog that can order through the mail and stuff like that. So, yeah, a lot of people are still doing the old school stuff.
Well, absolutely, and I definitely get your catalog. Your catalog is great. The way you put it together, it makes it very easy reading, and you pinpoint exactly, you know, what ailments and then what natural herbs are used to cure. You see, this is what naturopaths do. They cure the ailment, not treat the symptom. There's a big difference, isn't there?
Well, yeah. I mean, in my 24 years of doing this, it's usually, you know, a mineral deficiency that causes a lot of common health problems. So minerals are really, really necessary, and we just have 50% less minerals in our food these days, basically because of how agriculture grows stuff. So we got to work harder to get those minerals back in. So supplementation, unfortunately, is now a necessity. It's not an option as much as it used to be. Now it's more of a necessity.
Well, you know, let me ask you this. Okay, well, first I want to say Carol from Philly pledges $200. Thank you, Carol. 888-281-1110. 888-677-9673. Now, my garden this year, which was just unbelievable. I had so many tomatoes on the vine that, you know, it weighted the vines down. I mean, it was huge. I got bushels of tomatoes. And just on three plants, cucumber plants, I picked 24 cucumbers 2 days in a row.
I
mean,
wow.
It's just amazing. Now, I've got peppers, just unbelievable the amount of peppers that we're pulling off these plants. And like I said, I can't believe this.
Do you and your wife can this stuff, or what do you do?
I know Canada put one of the ladies in our church. We give her the things, and she cans it and splits it with us.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
Yeah, that's Barb. She does a great job doing that, yeah. And okay. So, anyhow, but here, the reason I asked, I said all that was because, you know, you keep hearing that the minerals in the soil are lesser and lesser.
But, well, the big agricultural complexes are, you know, you're going to have more nutrition in your plants if you're doing your own home gardening, okay? The key is, you know, letting the land rest and, you know, and letting the nutrition come back in. If for people out there that are embarking on gardens, even year-round gardens, people are starting to do those. There's a book called Back to Eden for weed-free gardens. It is amazing. So one of the things this guy does in his garden is he'll get aged mulch, and he'll put it in the garden, and you don't get any weeds. You don't have to be pulling weeds.
Well.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, he was having a hard time with his garden once. He's a Vietnam vet, and he's got some disabilities. He lives in Oregon. I can't remember his name, but anyway, he was praying to the Lord one day. He says, you know, he's having trouble. He's struggling a little bit. He loves his garden. How is he going to keep up with all these weeds? The Lord said, take a walk in the woods. So he did. And then he says, okay, I'm in the woods, Lord. What am I supposed to be seeing here? He said, what's under your feet? And, you know, there's a lot of decomposed natural materials, you know, bark, leaves, and so forth. And it's a bit spongy, you know, it's a bit spongy. But there's no weeds. And so that's where he got the idea, taking a walk in the woods with the Lord.
Well, you know, I noticed something, too. I spent, like, 18 months straight in the Amazon jungle, and I always thought because of all the lush vegetation that the topsoil would be, you know, 6 inches of topsoil. But I was amazed to find out that it maybe a quarter inch of that, of topsoil. I couldn't believe it, okay? And the rest was sandy or clay soil and that. And yet all of these huge plants were growing out of that.
Some plants have really deep roots, you know. Some plants really give you lots of nutrition because of the deep, deep roots. Olive trees are an example, and they grow for hundreds of years. And you've been out to Israel. You saw some of them.
Boy, I certainly did. Olive trees that were thousands of years old. Amazing. Yeah. And the way they grow, it's different. The trees doesn't grow from the inside, you know, up. It grows around the outside, okay? And it could be like hollow on the inside, but they keep growing. That's an amazing thing, those olive trees.
Yeah, olives are really nice. Omega-3 fatty acids. Olive oil is a really good healthy oil. So Mediterranean people drink glasses of that stuff, and they don't have cholesterol problems.
We're coming up to a hardcore break, Wendy.
I'm going to leave you all to discuss whatever it is you're going to discuss, but I enjoy it and hope more people donate.
Well, thanks for being with us.
Sure, anytime.
And don't feel bad about leaving us. We're used to rejection. So go home and hey, get yourself a good night's sleep. God bless. We love you. You do such a good job.
Okay, love you too. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
WHKW, W245CY, Cleveland. Read your Bible every day and listen to us, a service of Salem Media Group.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.com.
chicagoplanet.org.
All righty, we're back. And folks, especially getting these pledges from Chicago and San Diego and Dallas is encouraging. It's encouraging. So keep encouraging us. We really appreciate it. All of these years we've been with you folks out there, and believe me, we appreciate you more than you know. But 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673, a perfect time to call is during. We're going to be taking a look at, well, we have a little clip here we're going to play. And go ahead and take it away, Mighty Andrew.
Is Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, who sits on the Senate Intelligence, Armed Services, and Judiciary Committees. Senator, it's good to see you this morning. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Maria. Good to be on with you.
I want to get your take on the status check of where we are with 51 days before Election Day. And let me start with a soundbite from that debate last week and Kamala Harris making this statement. Watch.
And as of today, there is not one member of the United States military who is in active duty in a combat zone in any war zone around the world, the first time this century.
Senator, I guess the fact checkers took the night off. Your reaction?
Yeah, Maria, I don't know where those two moderators were fact-checking Kamala Harris with that lie, as with so many of her other lies. I guess they were busy wrongly fact-checking President Trump. Kamala Harris's claims that there are no American troops in a war zone, I bet would come as a surprise to the thousands of troops we still have in places like Iraq and Syria that are getting repeatedly hit by mortars and drones and other attacks by Iranian-backed terrorists because Kamala Harris and Joe Biden have appeased and emboldened the Ayatollahs for 4 years. It would probably come as a surprise to all of the sailors we have in the Red Sea who are facing the constant threat of missile attacks from rebels and outlaws in Yemen that, again, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have turned a blind eye to, that they took off the terrorist list in their first days in office after Donald Trump had put them on the list, that just this morning fired a ballistic missile into Israel. Kamala Harris's lie about American troops not facing danger in war zones around the world is just one more example of why she's a weak, failed San Francisco liberal who is not up to the job of being our commander-in-chief.
Senator, let me stay on foreign policy for a moment with the breaking news of the morning. The Houthis say that this new hypersonic ballistic missile launched at Israel will continue. They're vowing more attacks going into October 7th, which would be 1 year since this started. What do you want to say about foreign policy expectations should Kamala Harris win this election?
Well, I think we know what we'll get with Kamala Harris. It's what we've got for 4 years with Joe Biden, Kamala Harris in office. If anything, it'll probably be worse because she's even more ideological and weaker than Joe Biden. But for 4 years, we've had war and conflict breaking out around the world. Russia's unprovoked invasion of Ukraine and Hamas's slaughter of more than 1,200 Israelis last October, the worst attack on Jews since the Holocaust. And now we have a bunch of rebels and outlaws in Yemen that are shooting ballistic missiles at Israel and at our own troops in the Red Sea. I mean, where did a bunch of rebels and outlaws from the mountains of Yemen get the missiles and the drones and the parts and the technical know-how to make these attacks? They got it from Iran, which has been emboldened and appeased for 4 years by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. By contrast, we know what we'll get with Donald Trump, which is exactly what we got in his first term, a largely peaceful, stable world with no new wars.
You know, the open border has also created an opportunity for these very dangerous gangs. We've got this trend, Aragua gang, raging in New York. And the latest is that these hatchet-wielding, hard-partying migrants have taken over a Texas hotel. We saw those horrible pictures in Colorado 2 weeks ago where this Venezuelan gang took over that apartment complex. They're doing the same or efforting to do the same in Texas right now. What do you want to see in terms of the border? Because now Kamala Harris is promising to actually make a difference on the border, despite the fact she's done nothing about it in the last 3.5 years.
Yeah, Maria, Kamala Harris promising to secure our border is like O.J. Simpson promising to find the real killer. We have a wide open border because of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. She's the one that promised in her first campaign for president that she would decriminalize illegal immigration, that she would grant a mass amnesty, that she would give illegal aliens health care at taxpayer expense. But look what we have under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris with this wide open border. We have gang warfare breaking out in cities across America, foreign gangs taking over apartment complexes or hotels or threatening to do so. Many Americans are aware of the murderous rampage of the Salvadoran gang MS-13. In El Salvador, they've actually gotten control of that gang under President Bukele because he's cracked down on it. Yet Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have allowed them to rampage across the United States. And now you have other gangs from places like Venezuela that some law enforcement authorities are like MS-13 on steroids. What President Trump will do, again, is exactly what he did in his first term. He will close the border, he will crack down on illegal alien crime, and he will begin to deport the millions of illegal aliens that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden led into this country.
You know, unfortunately, we're not seeing these stories in the mainstream media, and this is very disappointing and destructive. Kamala Harris chose ABC for an interview, and they edited down her word salad answers to make it appear quite concise. Why is it that we're not getting the true story of the status of this country on the mainstream media?
Well, the mainstream media is fully in the tank for Kamala Harris. They are totally united behind trying to stop Donald Trump from returning to the White House. Kamala Harris has a radical ideological record that she doesn't want to talk about to the extent she says anything. Like, she now wants to secure the border, or she now supports fracking for oil and gas. It's not a flip-flop. It's not a shifted position. It's a lie, and the media goes along with it. Look at what's happened in the situation in Springfield, Ohio, Maria. You had a town of about 58,000 Americans, and 20,000 Haitian migrants have flooded into that town in recent years. You don't have to think that they're all bad people. You don't have to think that most of them are bad people to understand the severe strain it puts on the community of Springfield. You got Haitians who don't know how to drive causing accidents all around the roads of Springfield. They're flooding emergency rooms and community health centers. So if your kid breaks his arm, good luck trying to find a doctor. The local schools have had to spend more than $400,000 on Haitian Creole translation services alone, money that could have gone for American citizens who wanted new uniforms for the football team or needed a new playground at the elementary or needed more bus transportation for the band. These are all entirely legitimate concerns that the people of Springfield have been pleading with their elected leaders in Washington to address. And what does the media want to do? The media wants to attack them, wants to tar them as racists and bigoted and nativists because of reports that Haitians have also been killing ducks or geese from the city pond. Credible, firsthand reports that should be investigated. I don't know if they're true or not, but they shouldn't be used to dismiss all the other very legitimate concerns that the citizens of Springfield have about the illegal immigration that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have unleashed on this country.
Yeah, and it's an important point. We're looking to confirm all of that as well. Senator, it's great to have you this morning. Thank you, sir. We'll be watching your work.
And we're back. This is Pastor Mike Fodor. I got an article here talking about immigration. The nation of Germany. This is something to watch is Germany. When it comes to the EU, when it comes to the rise of Europe again, Bible prophecy tells us that that'll probably be the base, the 10-nation confederacy base of the coming Antichrist. And what is Germany doing? Starting to implement border checks today and may abolish acceptance of asylum seekers entirely. Chancellor Scholz, who hasn't been particularly popular, is starting today to enact border controls despite EU laws guaranteeing free movement. Germany's not alone in Europe, by the way. Holland and even Denmark and others are starting to crack down on illegal immigration coming especially from Muslim countries. And this comes after elections in East Germany showed results that the right-wingers of a major party, the AFD, have gotten gains in the parliament. And so, and also there have been two recent Islamic terrorist attacks. And so popular opinion is beginning to change with all of this Muslim immigration. And even one of the mainstream opposition parties, the Christian Democratic Union, that's a big party in Germany, is proposing to completely end political asylum in Germany. They've seen that it's become a failed policy. They've seen that it's gotten dangerous in Germany and other parts of Europe. But the thing that's, to me, the thing that stands out here is America needs to learn this lesson. Hopefully, in the next administration, of course, will clamp down on this. But Europe is starting to lean back to the right. Europe is starting to become more fascist-leaning. Look for the rise of a Fourth Reich. And Germany is really the engine. Germany is the heart of the EU. So what happens in Germany is significant. The one other thing I might say about Germany, which is also interesting, they have become Israel's best friend since October 7th of last year. They have guaranteed Israel's protection and right to go in and combat Gaza. And they have also warned Israel's neighbors to stay out of the fight. And they've even sent troops to Cyprus in case they needed to be deployed. Germany helping Israel and the Jews. And so, you know, the Antichrist is going to show himself as a friend to Israel. He's going to make a treaty with them. He's going to invite them into NATO or something like that, into an expanded EU. And that's how he's going to deceive them, when the rest of the world is turned against Israel and hates them. So that's an interesting article.
All right, very good. Joe, they're making a movie that's being funded by Kamala and Joe Obama Biden. They're funding this movie. Tell us about it.
Oh, hang on. What are they? Just a sec. I stuck that aside. I can't find where I put it right now.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you do this? I've got it here. I can do it. But why don't you tell us about now the FBI is the guy caught the Senate. It's caught him again getting ready to interfere with the election. So,
yep, they are doing it. Well, we all know the FBI interfered with the 2020 and all the false claims about the Hunter Biden laptop, Russian disinformation. Well, now they've been with the just weeks away from the vote. The FBI again is interfering by leaking classified information to the Washington Post about a investigation into Donald Trump. Now, the trouble is this happened a while back and there was no evidence. That's why it wasn't put out then as news, but now they're pushing this information out. They're illegally, this Biden regime is leaking information to interfere. What it is, the report goes back to 2017. Classified information suggested, there's no evidence, that Egypt's El-Sisi was donating $10 million to Trump's campaign. Now, the trouble is, there was a big investigation and by Robert Mueller's team, and they included secret court battles to get records from the Egyptian bank, and they concluded that there was nothing there. There was not enough evidence. Nobody could find evidence of this big cash payment. So, all of a sudden now, here it is, years later, and the senators are saying, hey, the FBI is putting this out. It's allowing it to be leaked to the Washington Post and to make Trump, you know, look bad. But again, there was nothing there. Nobody could prove it was an accusation, totally unproven, kind of like the Russian disinformation. And again, here's our FBI. They are a danger to the American way of life, to our election, to our country. Once a very honored organization, and now it's part of the conspiracy to for the deep state to overthrow our form of government. It's what really is going on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, here's something that with all, we know what's going on in Springfield, Ohio here with the Haitians, but it's not the only place with all of these illegal aliens coming in. Animal sacrifice rituals are growing across the country. Now, what do you think that's a sign of?
Usually it's witchcraft.
Okay. So here in Queens, New York, and the New York Post has reported a surge of animal sacrifices have been taking place in Queens, New York. In the last month, chickens, rats, dogs, pigs, and mutilated body parts, which have been discovered in Spring Creek Park in Howard Beach and the Jamaica Bay Wildlife Refuge of Queens. Several rescuers reported finding live pigs with severed ears, a dead dog with his neck snapped, a hen in distress, decapitated chicken heads, and a baby rat tied up to a bag. A local religious leaders believe the animal sacrifices stem from the sect of Hindu devotees who worship the goddess Kali. So, all right, there you go.
I'm sure that's happening with the Haitians.
There is a breaking story. We need a little humor. A breaking story from the Babylon Bee. Americans across the country breathed a sigh of relief this morning following breaking news that Vice President Kamala Harris survived an attempted interview.
Oh, no.
The incident took place yesterday afternoon during a campaign stop when a rogue reporter approached the vice president, fired off questions before being tackled to the ground and subdued by Secret Service agents. Harris was quickly evacuated from the area, taken to a safe location. Thankfully, Vice President Harris is safe and in stable condition. We all feared the worst when that crazed person emerged from the crowd and attempted to interview her right there in broad daylight. So anyway, the FBI arrived at the scene shortly after and discovered that the would-be interviewer was in possession of notepads, pens, a cell phone, and a camera authorities believed was intended to capture the event for a live stream of video. Wow. And she's safe, folks. We can all take a breath of relief.
Gotta love the Babylon Bee.
Another close call. Close call. All right.
A very close call.
All righty. Carol from Philly pledges 200, 888-281-1110. 888-677-9673. The lines have been silent. We can't let this happen, folks. We got to hear from you, especially out there from Dallas and from Chicago and from San Diego. We really need to hear from you out there tonight. We've only got about 40 minutes, about 40 minutes left tonight where you can call at 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Some of you out there have never pledged. You've listened to the radio program for a very long time, but you've never pledged. And every now and then I get letters from people saying, I'm ashamed of myself, but I've listened to you for years and years, and this is going to be my first pledge, but I'm going to continue. I'm going to make a monthly pledge, so we need to hear that tonight. Boy, do we need to hear that. We really do need. See, if you remember when we were telling you folks out there, Joe, and we were telling them in Colorado, and we were telling them in Florida, on two stations in Florida out there, and also Portland, Oregon, and Atlanta, Georgia. We were telling them how we really needed to hear from them. We really need to hear from you. And after we went off the stations, Joe, then we started hearing from people, but it was too little too late, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And a lot of those were just begging us, come back on, we'll donate, we'll do whatever we can to help. But once you lose that airtime, and once you lose that space, you don't get it back that easily.
Well, and it's a lot more complicated than people think.
I know. And we'd like to go back. In fact, I've already dealt with, you know, and negotiated if we ever, if we had the fundings there in Atlanta, if we had the funding there. And by the way, especially in Denver, we had some really good people out there in Denver that really, really donated, I mean, you know, large amounts of money, nice letters and everything, and it just wasn't enough. It just was too few. But anyhow, folks, we need to hear from you at 888-677-9673, 888-281-1110. And, you know, when you were talking about the FBI, I watched today as Chris Wray, when they were, he was giving a press conference, and he had to keep, you could tell he had a hard time keeping from laughing or trying to hide a smirk, because he was saying, we are so, I'm so thankful that President Trump is still, is safe, and we're going to dedicate everything we have to keep him safe. He could barely keep from laughing. You ought to have seen it. I picked up on it. Susan in Michigan pledges 100. Thank you, Susan in Michigan. We really need to hear from you.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've got some, we make some enemies out there. Did you know that Howard Stern came out and says he hates anyone that votes for Trump? They are stupid, and I have no respect from them. The master of sleaze, and he hates us because anyone that votes for Trump, apparently we're, you and I and all the present company here today, we're all stupid. But coming from him, that's an interesting comment, right?
Well, if you consider getting from coming from a guy who gets in his underwear and has a rope tied to a high ceiling, and he swings across the room in his underwear, this is a guy who is I would call him radio porn. And
yeah,
so,
pretty much. And some of the shows, I guess it gets pretty unchristian-like, pretty shocking, and just crude, rude, and gross, right?
Absolutely. Jeffrey in Philly pledges 100. Thank you, Jeffrey, out there in Philly. This is an interesting thing here. Shameful. John Kirby of the Biden administration has just been caught. He was saying something truly shameful about American veterans. He did not realize that he had hit the reply on all the emails inquiries sent to his office of Fox News seeking comment on veterans of the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. And do you know what Kirby's response was? He stated that there was no use in responding because these veterans are not Harris voters.
Yeah, few disgruntled, and it was like her comment was a few disgruntled veterans, like they're just a few of us.
Yeah. No, well, don't worry, because there's, we don't have any military deployed anywhere, haven't you heard?
Yeah. Hey, one of the big things is the House is demanding there's a memo detailing Biden's agency's curious voters registration work. Remember, quite a while back, we talked about how they were using the Small Business Association had a strategic plan for voter registration in Michigan. And, well, first they said that it was in compliance with the President Biden's executive order. And then they claimed it didn't exist in requested form when the House subpoenaed for that this information. And then after a lot of back and forth, they say, well, they can't release it. Or first they couldn't find it. It didn't exist. Then they can't find it. Then, you know, they're stalling because there's something going on and they're trying every trick in the book to hide it.
because basically they were using government agencies, and we talked about this before, to go out and help register what? Democrats only, and push the liberal agenda. And so here we've got numerous occasions the SBA and its staff claimed that document didn't exist before finally telling us now that it could not be produced to the committee. And this is the kind of government we have. They were, remember how they were going to be open and honest and all this? They have done nothing but hide everything they're doing. Why? Because everything they've been doing is destructive and harmful to America.
Right. It's not for the American people. It's for the globalists. It's people like Klaus Schwab, yeah.
Global elites.
Yeah. They're and George Soros and others. And again, boy, the American people are getting tired and they're getting fed up. We've got to get rid of this deep state. We've got to get rid of it. But anyhow, Richard in Rocky River pledges 100. Thank you, Richard Rocky River. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We have approximately 33 minutes left tonight to raise support for you folks. All right, very good. Here's Mark Knight in San Antonio, pledges 25. All right, keep bringing it in. Now, that's in Texas, right, San Antonio, or is that New Mexico?
South Texas, yeah.
South Texas, okay, good. Yeah, we want to continue to hear from you. 888-677-9673. You've got an article there.
Yeah, before I read, I just want to encourage your listeners. You know, Paul said the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And you know what that word in the Greek is? It's literally hilarious.
Hilarious
givers. Hilarious givers. That's what it is. And so we don't always start there. Sometimes we start giving with a lot of groaning and weeping, and we're in a bad place. But the Bible says the more you give, God watches over that, right?
Jesus, absolutely.
You sow seed, and God watches over that. And you're sowing into good soil, that seed will grow. God will bring back a harvest. He'll bless you in many different ways. And he'll use men and women to do that, your employer. He'll even use angels behind the scenes on your behalf. So it's the one place in the Bible where God says to test me and see if I don't open up the windows of heaven, and blessings will chase you down. So learn to be a cheerful, hilarious giver, and this is a good place to start.
Yeah, well, listen, I will be totally hilarious. Somebody calls and they pledge 10 grand. Watch how hilarious I can get, right? And you ain't seen hilarious until
but
I get
the one who pledged 10 grand should be hilarious.
Right.
Yeah, they should be. Yeah, I do have some real good news. Remember, Kamala was talking to the Teamsters trying to get their vote. Well, they came out and said they've declined to make any endorsement. Remember, they've always endorsed Democrats as far back as I could find. But the rank and file, 59.6% surveyed, said the Teamsters should endorse Trump. Ah, but only 31% voiced support for Harris. So what the union kind of said is, well, there was no majority support for Harris and a lack of universal support for Trump. 60% wanted Trump to be the union to support Trump. But they said that wasn't enough support. But that's saying he is gaining strength and power with the working class, the blue-collar Americans. They're seeing through the liberal garbage. They're seeing through the lies, the deceit, the nothing there, the Kamala, no agenda, no facts, no plan. And it's good news, but we need to keep fighting the fight like we were still way behind. I think the world's going to be shocked come November, but we have to act like we're far behind.
We'll remember in November, and let me tell you, that 61% will vote for Trump. We'll be back after this with more.
And now, the
end is near. If you're not saved, then you're hurting. It's him that you should fear. And that's the truth, I know for certain. He gave me life that's eternal. He kept me from going astray. He's God, and this I know, he did it his way. Regrets, he's had none, not even one that I can mention. He saved you and I. He brought us through without exemption. He planned each charted course, a guiding light along the pathway. For sure, not more or less, he did it his way. Throughout ancient times, I know it's true, there was never anything that he couldn't do. My faith in him never was any doubt. What he said, he carried out. All in all, as I recall, he did it his way. He lived, he suffered and died, but he arose in power and glory. In him I now abide, for history is just his story. His word is where life's at. And may I say, not in a shy way, oh no, no, not me, he did it his way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not his reward, then he has not. A broken heart, he can heal. And in his word, the truth revealed. His word shows what we all know. He did it his way. A broken heart, he can heal. And in his word, the truth revealed. His word shows what we all know. He did it his way.
That Ernie Sinatra.
Yeah, well, he did it his way. He's doing it
Frankie
his way.
Sanders.
Yeah, he's going to, in the end.
Nice of redeeming the theme song of hell and making it into something beautiful.
Absolutely. Okay. And, you know, we have to put the Lord first, right?
Right. Well, he's...
All righty. Lori Gibson from Texas pledges 20, and Anonymous from Oregon pledges 1,000. And I got a good idea who that Anonymous is. He's a real faithful brother. God bless you. All right, folks, we're heading that way. We've got 25 minutes where you can call in tonight.
Wasn't Anonymous a character in Pilgrim's Progress? He is now.
Yeah. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We're running out of time tonight. Joe, you have an article. Did you ever find your article? Special alert from Pastor Joe. Did you get the one about Biden-Harris administration paying for the outrageous play where God is bisexual and communists are good people? The culture from music to sports to theater, a vital component of the United States people-to-people diplomacy efforts around the world, support border U.S. foreign policy goals. There you go. So here, what they have here is early in September, the State Department greenlighted funding for the showing of Tony Kushner's 1991 play Angels in America, a sodomite fantasia on national themes in North Macedonia, with the agency claiming the production will raise awareness about LGBTQ issues in the country, and federal grant records reveal. The play follows multiple storylines, among them the ghost of convicted communist spy Ethel Rosenberg, antagonizing dying conservative lawyer Roy Kahn, and a sodomite man having sexual explicit visions of heaven as he struggles with his AIDS. In one such vision, he finds the angels have eight vaginas and are equipped as well with the banquet of Phele, and that the universe was created by God. I'm not going to read any. I can't read this. This is getting...
Man, it's too late.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty.
Can't wash my ears out now.
Yeah.
Man, I thought the 72 virgins was bad.
Yeah, well, this gets a little... This is in their play, and this is where your tax dollars are being used. Thank you, Joe Obama Biden. And here we have Claudia in Illinois pledges 100. Thank you, Claudia. And Clarence from Canada pledges 50. Thank you, Clarence. Joe, you had an article.
I was going to say, this isn't the first time they've done this kind of thing. The State Department's put on, we've done two or three stories about pro-LGBTQ, you know, plays, different places. They're funding many in places like Macedonia. Our taxpayer money putting on all kinds of sick, sinful, harmful plays that not healthy for children and other living things. But keep that in mind. This is a continuing process. One of the stories that I wanted to bring out was, remember January 6th? One of the big things that started it was Kamala Harris was supposed to be there. You know, she was there at the when this happened. But there's a trouble. She said, I was there. Well, no, Kamala, you were not. And her absence speaks to, this is one of the big mysteries, you know, where was she that day? And it turns around that she's in that charge, the president of the United States incited this mob, and the idea that she was there and in danger. Now, what happened was, she was at another location, so it's a great big lie of what happened, and nobody wants to go there and talk about this. The danger Pelosi, so it's kind of an odd situation where we have omissions, half-truths offered by Kamala Harris, you know, where she was on January 6th. And what played out that day, and she was the one that brought this up and made a strong statements. So
this just really gets me, because why would they lie about her being at the Capitol when she wasn't there? What happened that they have to cover this up? Remember Trump said, I'm asking everyone at the Capitol to be peaceful, no violence, and all this. You got to remember what was going on. And one of the big things, her claim, she was at the DNC at 1 o'clock with a pipe bomb. Remember, they found a pipe bomb? So she was not at the Capitol during the riot, not for one single minute. And Harris has been instructed not to talk about the DNC or her alleged proximity to the attempt of the pipe bomb. And she said, I was at the Capitol that morning, and then I was in a meeting, and I was told I should leave, and I was taken to a secure location with her husband. No, they put her on lockdown at the DNC, folks. So all of this is nothing but lies. It's kind of scary when the person who wants to be the president of the United States lies about where they were on January 6th, what took place, what they knew.
So did she make the pipe bomb or not?
Yeah, well, that's why they locked down the DNC there for a little while, because of that pipe bomb that was supposed to be there, and that's why we know she was on lockdown, so she could not have been at the Capitol during the riot, because at 1 p.m., that's when the bomb was found, they locked down the DNC, and she was definitely there for meetings. Her schedule, everything is now come out. This is the actual fact.
And DNC stands for Dirty National Communist.
Yeah. So,
Dirty Nasty Communist.
Remember, one of the other things is her role. The evidence mounts that there was a plot underway on January 6th to incite chaos to shut down the certification process. Well, one of the things claiming to be at the Capitol, she was in danger. Trump put her in danger because he sent these people to, you know, foment an insurrection. Gigantic lie. Why is this being covered up? No one seems to be talking about this. This came from Jack Cascio, World News Daily. I'm looking around, and no other medias are not picking this story up. The facts are out there. The proof is out there. And the left wants a lid on this story. They do not want anyone talking about it at all.
All right, very good. Tens of thousands of illegal aliens are currently registered to vote in the United States.
Yeah.
Here, Angela Maria Francisco stole a U.S. citizen's identity, and since that, she's voted on numerous elections since 2011, she's just one of an example of how many you have out there doing this. And this is why the Democrats brought him in to begin with. One of the reasons. All righty, I'm going to make a quick announcement here. Property tax town hall meeting. Citizens for Property Tax Reform is housing. Reform housing is property tax town hall. This is very important, folks, that you make, if you can make this meeting. And this is going to be here in Cleveland, Tuesday, September the 24th. The meeting will be held at 6:30 in the Calvin Center of the Hungarian Reformed Church, located at 15300 Puritas Avenue in Cleveland, Ohio. We have invited state and county elected officials and candidates in the November ballot. They will discuss the recent property tax revelations. Property taxes are not biblical taxes. They're not biblical at all in Cuyahoga County, and their plans for providing economic relief for seniors. You'll have an opportunity to ask questions and express your concerns. Please join us and invite your friends and neighbors. You are all welcome. Some states are doing away with property taxes, which they should, okay? 440-320-6019. The number to call Keith Davey at 440-320-6019. There you go. go ahead. You know, we're coming up to the time where we're going to give an invitation. Joe, should we let Mikey do the invitation?
Nice. That'd be a nice honor.
All right. It's coming up. You're going to have just a couple more minutes before you do that. And you give the invitation. And here we got it. Tom Fitton, the president of Judicial Watch, is asking all of you to call 202-225-3121 and tell your lawmakers, tell your congressman, call that number and then ask for your own congressman and tell them no government funding, because they're working on a government funding bill now, the temporary, until the republic is protected. In other words, in that bill that they want, it's also it covers two things: to fund the government, but also that all everyone that votes in the election must be a citizen. Only American U.S. citizens can vote in the election, and so that's what's in there. And of course, that's not what the Communist Party wants at all. All right, William from San Marcos, California, pledges 100. Thank you, William. We need more and more from California. Boy, do we need more. So go ahead, Mike, and tell the folks how they can avoid that burning lake of fire and how they can get to glory.
Well, you hear people say that we're all children of God, but that's really not true. I mean, we're all made and created in the image of God, physically, mentally, but we're born into this world because of sin. We're born separated from God. We're born as sinners, and God is really not our Father, not at this point. Comes a point where you have to be born again. Jesus said, unless one is born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. You cannot see the Father. So you can't get to heaven without two birthdays. You have to obviously be born once physically into the earth. That gives you a chance to live forever in heaven. You will live forever one place or another. That's the thing that's frightening. You will be given a new body one way or another. You'll get a body that's equipped and made for heaven and glory, and or else you're going to get a body that's equipped and made for hell, that eventually gets cast into the lake of fire. Do you know hell is different from the lake of fire? Hell, right now, is a place under the earth.
State of torment. It's a state of being in torment and pain.
Yeah, under the earth. When the unrighteous, when an unsaved person dies, religious or not, good or not, their spirit is taken down into the earth, down into the pit of hell. It's like going to jail versus prison. It's a temporary holding place. You know, years ago, the Soviet Russians were drilling. They wanted to prove there was no hell. And for some reason, they were drilling forever to deep down into the earth in Siberia. They went miles and miles and miles deep. And they had audio detectors on the end. And they gave up the program. They suddenly stopped it. You want to know why? They were hearing human screams.
Yeah, I heard the recording of that.
And you heard the recording?
Yeah, and I'm just, you know, wondering if that was for real. You know, it was horrible screams, yeah.
That's what they heard when they got further and further. So it is a place. You know, I think of that scene from, Ghosts, where that bad guy dies in the streets and all those demons come out of the sidewalk. Remember that scene?
Yeah.
I'll never forget that scene. And they're dragged. They drag him kicking and screaming, and they drag him down. He can't help it. He's got no defense any longer at that point. But when you're one of the righteous, when you're saved, when you're born again, when you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you pass, when you die, the angels are present to carry you. The angels are present. The good angels are present to carry you from earth to heaven, to transport you somehow, supernaturally, speed of sound, speed of light, to take you on to heaven. What would you rather be escorted the moment that you die? Or what if you're still alive when the rapture happens, when Christ returns to snatch his bride from the earth in the twinkling of an eye, which 1 Thessalonians 4 clearly tells us will happen? Will you be ready for that? You don't want to be left behind. If you don't know the Lord, if you're not living for the Lord, walking with him, you don't want to be left behind to be thrown into the great tribulation, because that 7-year period is going to be a terrible, terrible time. There's nothing that the earth has ever seen or experienced that's going to be happening. The judgments coming down from heaven, the nuclear exchanges that'll be happening between the nations, the war, the starvation, and then you're going to be forced to take the mark or not. And, you know, so you're going to have to make a lot of choices. Why not now make your choice to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He said, I am the Lamb of God. Or John the Baptist said, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You need to know, as good as you might be, you're never good enough. You have to acknowledge that you have sin. Even Job had to learn that he had some sin that he wasn't aware of. God showed it to him. Sometimes the sins on the inside are worse than the sins on the outside. You may say, well, I've never stolen, I've never hit anyone, I've never killed anyone. But have you been anxious? Have you been depressed? Have you hated someone? Have you been jealous? You know, these are sins of the spirit. And these are sins you need to repent of. So the good news is forgiveness is available. The blood of the Lamb cleanses us of all sin and unrighteousness, not just temporarily, not just for a year at a time like the animal blood in the Old Testament did. The blood of Jesus is an everlasting blood that cleanses us of our sin. But we have to be sincere when we come to him. We have to say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I know that you are the creator of the earth. I know that you lived on the earth like a man. You were a man. You died on the cross. You died on the cross. You were an innocent man. You were a sinless man. But they tortured you. They scourged you. They put a crown of thorns on you. They mocked you. But you did it all because you loved us. You did it all because you had to be the savior of the world. You had to pay the price for man's sin to appease the Father's wrath and anger in heaven. And then 3 days later, you rose from the dead to prove that you are who you say you are, that you are the great I am, that you are the Son of God. And so that's it. That's it. It's that simple. John said, he who has the Son has eternal life, and he who has not the Son does not have eternal life.
And that's it, folks. Just like you said, we're out of time for tonight. So at this time, every night is when we say thanks for being here, and thanks for your support. God bless.
God bless.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, all.
And then
sleep
then
tight.
We always say it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we always say, always,
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 always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.